All right, welcome aboard at the Bear Facts and Fishtails. Mark and Larry here on a beautiful Sunday night. Sunny all day today after our little flurries left early this morning, and just enough to trash up the roads a little bit and make driving a little miserable early this morning. And you can sure see who allocates tax money for road snow removal. It's amazing. Lawrence, how did you do up there?
Do you pay your tax bill? And are you part of the road grading crew by paying your taxes? Is that
no?
What you're,
I definitely pay my share of taxes.
Yeah,
trust
well,
me.
Well, you know, that's you know that's part about being an American.
But the funny part is municipalities. How some of them. I had to pick up Mrs. Claus at the airport this morning or this afternoon, and driving through some of the southern suburbs, snow removal is not what it used to be. It was funny. Trying to get out and get roads cleared out, you know what I mean?
Well, you guys, I guess, have had more snow, but you probably don't have as much on the ground. Or did you get hit?
No, we didn't. You
lately.
Know, south of the city's got throttled pretty good. But, you know, on our end of the world here where the Mighty Bob Radio Network home is, we probably got about an inch and a half.
I saw somewhere out near, like, Mankato at, like, 15.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the south got hammered.
Yep. 15 inches.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I hope the farmers are able to get in their fields and put the corn down.
We'll be hearing about it.
Because there's probably a lot of snow, there's going to be a lot of moisture in the ground.
Yeah. Rivers. Lair, there's every conceivable creek that you knew of and brook is open, I would say.
Really?
In the entire metro area. Every one is open. So it's been, it's beautiful to see the beautiful snowfall in the banks of these creeks and see things thriving. You know, in fact, today I saw six swans sitting in a cornfield that's been picked. It's snow blanketed. And here were six swans just sitting out there. I've never seen that before in the winter up here.
Why would they? I wonder if they must have wintered down there, because it's a little bit early for them to be coming up and harass me.
Exactly.
In my fishing boat.
Exactly.
While they're trying to nest.
But I think the ones I saw today, it's kind of a, it's really an interesting deal, in all sincerity, that in the spring migration and in the fall migration, I've seen swans set up on a field only at that particular two times of the year. And it's, you know, obviously before the fields have been, had the crops put in, and it's certainly after everything's been harvested. But it's just weird that there's just this obvious magnet basically in the same spot that you see them in the spring. Kind of weird. But it's beautiful. It's a beautiful sight seeing them around, certainly.
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
I think owls, great horned owls, have their babies. They start in February. I could be wrong.
No, you're right. Mating season is right around.
It reminds me of trying to capture the one time I tried to get a baby horned owl, and I told you the story, and I got halfway up the tree, and the next thing you know, my knit hat was knocked off my head.
Hello, Mom. And
down I came. That was my short-lived try to get. I wanted to get a great horned owl. Of course, at the time, it wasn't illegal, folks. This was in the 50s.
Yeah.
When I was a little tot.
You know, back when you chewed bubble gum and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was probably about 19. I must have been about a freshman in high school.
Okay.
And, yeah. So, anyway, it's a weird. I saw it the last 2 days, these huge flocks. I don't know what the hell kind of bird they are. They're a little smaller than a robin. My binoculars but they're landing in the trees around here. Now,
do you have your binoculars pulled up to your face in the right direction? You know, the right ends? You're okay there.
The problem is the tree is a little bit too far away.
Ah.
And then when you wear glasses,
yeah,
you got to remember to have the the cap down, you know, so you, and it's a little harder to adjust.
Correct.
When you're wearing glasses. And I have a very good pair of binoculars. So anyway, I don't know what they are. I'll find out. I don't want to go out and shoot one, you know what I'm saying, because I could go to jail.
Right.
But there's thousands of them.
It's fascinating.
Well, are they migrating? What are they doing? Why? Where are they coming? Now you're talking about seeing a couple of swans. I mean, is there something going on?
I know, and those same swans, there were six, and I'm only saying it was the same ones because they flew right over the house the other night. It was beautiful. I'm going, what in the heck? I mean, they were like 20 feet over the rooftop. And I'm sitting in the living room having something to eat with the fire going, and it was like, my gosh. I just watched three bald eagles head back to where they roost for the evening, and only to finish it. And a few deer walking around the woods. It was just kind of a lively time of the day, apparently. Only to be finished up with six beautiful swans going right over. It was beautiful. Appreciating nature, you know, as we do in all
forms. That's our job in life every Sunday night.
It is.
It's not all about fishing.
Not always.
You know, it's about other animals.
Correct.
Too, as well.
Exactly.
Well, my new thing now, and I want to bring this up because we have a lot of farmers that listen to the program.
Absolutely.
And now I'm into watching videos, vlogs, whatever you call them.
And there's this
great video.
Yep.
For the millennial, it's called the millennial. Yep. It's a millennial farmers. So if you want to Google and get that, you can get on all that stuff, you know, and I know how to do it. Anyway, it's great. You cannot believe, folks, if you have no idea how, let me just say this, intelligent you have to be to be a modern family farmer.
Farmer.
Besides workaholic and the machinery that they run nowadays is so sophisticated and so, these immense machines.
Yep.
And to have them break down about every, you know, a brand new machine, they break down when you're out dragging around stuff, rocks and mud and stuff. And you get inside of one of the cockpits. Remember that guy who used to call in from around Faribault, or I'm not sure who he's from, once in a while, who was in his combine?
Yep.
Well, I don't know if it's him or not, but anyway, this just unbelievable. And I am so proud of the fact that I've always loved farmers. I'm even more impressed.
Well, they have to do everything. They're business people. They have to be mechanics. If your combine breaks down in the middle of a field and it's about to start raining or something like that, you know, you can't wait for somebody to show up to bail you out. So you got to get in there and fix it yourself. They have to do every kind of, you know, I mean, they're strong, obviously. They do it all. Farmers are heroes.
It's fascinating.
This guy has got a big operation because he had a truck come right out into the field with a bunch of tools and stuff. And I mean, it's just amazing, folks. If you've never been on a farm, and I have, I've milked cows, I've done all that. And there's another one with a dairy farmer, 1,700 cows they milk. 1,700.
It ain't by hand.
You fish, man, you got to go out.
No, I hear
you. Sometime and watch some.
I know. Summer will be here soon, and you'll get better, Larry.
Now, if only they could figure out a way to get the smell of manure, or horse manure, or cow, into my living room, just a whiff. Because I swear to God,
Up and put your hat over your heart, Lawrence.
We got to give it a second. The Canadians are infiltrating.
No.
Andy's back.
Bowling.
What?
Get a flashlight. Canadians are coming across the river. That's what Brandon was saying.
They tapped into your communications, but I chased them off. You're good.
Good.
Never mind. There's farmers up here, too.
Well, we know.
Yeah, and remember, the best ice fishing is yet to come.
Of course.
But it is, actually, but I still haven't been able to get out around on these lakes up here very easily.
Mm. Well, you know, our buddy Paul Newman is in the throes of that sophisticated farming. He's got more stuff than we have on our boats. as far as electronics.
The Paul Newman I know?
Yeah.
That young kid?
Yeah.
He went into farming?
Oh, yeah. Heavy.
But he wasn't a farmer. He didn't grow up a farmer.
No, but his dad in the family and all that stuff for years.
It's in the family, but he decided to do it, huh?
Yeah, he took it up seriously and doing a great job. Great job.
Listen, it's an amazing what do you call it?
Vocation,
well,
maybe.
It's an amazing life.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Yeah. You're constantly in play.
Well, you're a scientist, you're an engineer, you're a mathematician, you're a businessman, you're everything.
Mm-hmm. Lots of stuff to do.
So I got that off my chest. I put that right at the first thing I wanted to talk about.
That's good.
Millennial, the Minnesota Millennial Farmer.
There you go.
MN Millennial, and it'll Google it right up and you'll...
And that's a YouTube channel I'm subscribing right now.
Yeah, and there's a couple others on there. Once you know how YouTube works, once you punch in, you'll get all kinds of... The other guys that are doing it.
Is this the Larry Bolig we know and love from yesteryear? He's gone to the dark side on YouTube. I love it.
What you know, you can learn yourself a thing or two by
you can
when you cut through the chaff.
Absolutely.
And of course, there's a lot of good fishing videos on there and all that other stuff.
Oh yeah, don't believe everybody.
And everybody that's listening already says, "Oh, bully, we all know that already." But that's all right. I'll bet you a lot of our listeners don't do the YouTube watch the farmers.
I haven't been in farmer YouTube yet, but that is a new rabbit hole I'm going down tonight.
I can guarantee you, my 6-year-old grandson has been.
Good for him. Which one is that now?
Lars. Lars can tell you about the name of every heavy piece of equipment, mm-hmm. how it works. Mm-hmm. Do you know what a filibuncher is?
A filibuncher?
Yeah. He educated myself and Mrs. Claus. It's like you're looking at this 5-year-old going, "Why, Grandma, that's a filibuncher." And I'm going, "What?" And it is that piece of equipment that goes out and grabs a tree trunk and cuts it and tips it over and puts it down on the ground.
That'd be a logging instrument.
Yes.
I've watched those in operation.
Oh, yeah.
Up here.
Fantastic.
You know what? Now, not only, but Lars has a perfectly good farming name.
Oh, yeah.
A Norwegian, in North Dakota. There's probably a lot of Lars in North Dakota right now that are farmers or ranchers.
Yeah. You should have seen him the night he was wrapped up in a bath towel saying he was Lars of Norway and this is my land.
Okay.
And his father put him up to that one. Yeah. He stood there like a stoic little Viking, you know.
How come he doesn't have a Viking hat?
Oh, he does.
He better be a Viking fan.
He's got a John Deere cap, too, you know.
Well, listen, he might end up someday you could tour his farm.
He'll be an engineer or own an implement dealership, no question.
One of my brothers, one of my grandsons.
Yeah.
Wanted to be a farmer when he's a little tiny kid.
There you go.
And he actually planted a garden. He was like 5-6 years old. He was into gardening. But since that, you know what he's doing now?
Hmm.
He's selling cars.
It's all right. That's all right. Well, folks, this is a fishing show. You're listening to Bear Facts and Fish Tales. Mark and Larry inviting your phone calls at 763-450-0100. And that gets you right on here. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. And Larry, we're going to have Commissioner Sarah Stroman on next week. How about that?
All right. Very good, Jim.
Our good buddy Tom Newstrom orchestrated this, and we're just pleased to have the commissioner on. It'll be a good time. We'll talk about a lot of different things. And so think about what it is that the DNR is doing that you appreciate and questions you may have. And that'll be next week, and hopefully we'll start at about 7:20 and probably go as long as she'd like. So we're honored to have her.
Okay, well, I hope we're not going to be usurped by a basketball game or anything like that.
Right. Yep, I hear you, buddy.
All right.
That won't happen.
Yep.
No links this year.
So we're wide open. We're wide open.
So, all right. So anyway, we got the weather out of the way. We got the farm report out of the way.
Yep.
Remember Maynard Spies?
Yes. On CCO, right?
He used to live right across the road from Mirandy, Amonrood.
Okay. Did he really?
Yeah. Well, in a little house there.
Yeah. Yep.
It's still there. Yep. Now, I don't know why that came into my thought picture.
I was just going to ask. So where is this going?
Well, he did the farm report for WCCO for about 100 years.
Heck yeah.
Just what was the morning show on WCCO? Boone and Erickson.
Boone and Erickson. Right. Yep. Classic.
Classic radio.
Oh, yeah. Did I ever tell you the guy who did the sound effects on CCO, it was not Sputnik. I can't remember. There was this Martian guy. Yeah, he was a friend of ours.
A friend of yours?
Yeah, yeah. He was a farmer, too. This is how this is all triggering.
That's all triggering.
Siegfried. It was Siegfried, the cartoon guy. Yeah, he was along with Axel and his dogs and, you know, once in a while would visit. Yeah. So hopped upon my windowsill.
You got to say it this way. Cock the shining lion
says.
Beep, beep, boop. Do you think, how many listeners, I'm sure we've got enough older listeners that remember that.
Oh, and then the dog would slide his hand up on his forearm. And we're talking about one of the greatest of all time, Clellan Card was his name. And he talked about Wisconsin. He mangled the English language like there is no tomorrow.
Man.
Oh, he was great.
He probably grew up in a community like I did. You know, peers, you know, and had a lot of settlers, you know.
He was funny. He was absolutely, there was a lot of great stuff when we were kids growing up that was local talent. A lot of it. I remember going down to CCO to do a sign job when I was in my 20s. And I walk into CCO and here at the front desk was Carmen the nurse. She was a receptionist. And I was kind
did
of...
Did you get befuddled?
I did. I wanted to say, hey, good afternoon, Carmen. I mean, instantly. And I hadn't seen Carmen for like 20 years at that point. But that's just how things go in life. It's just hilarious where people show up. Anyhow, Brandon, did you say we had a call?
No, we got a break.
We got a break.
And then we got a call.
And then we got... Okay, following the rules. Again. You're listening to Bear Facts and Fish Tales on the Mighty Bob Radio Network, inviting your phone calls cheerfully at 763-450-0100, broadcasting from beautiful downtown Ramsey, Minnesota, and Lawrence is live, broadcasting from his humble abode, protecting us from anything that could come across the Rainy River in beautiful downtown International Falls. We'll be right back.
Bob Outdoors continues with Mark and Larry on Bear Facts and Fish Tales next. Remember, your calls are welcome at 763-450-0100. That's 763-450-0100.
Dreaming of a new home? The State Bank of Faribault can help with a $7,500 grant. For a limited time, qualified borrowers might be eligible for a up to $7,500 grant towards costs of the purchase of a new home with State Bank of Faribault. Find out if you're eligible. Talk with the mortgage team at one of their two locations in Faribault or their new location in Prior Lake. The State Bank of Faribault, creating customers for life. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. NMLS number 638054. This is not an offer to enter into a rate lock agreement.
Here's Lawrence of Bowling for Vexilar.
Thank you, sir. You know, they've been in business for over 60 years, and I've probably been hanging out with them for like almost 40 years now. In fact, the first ever three-color flasher I still have in my possession called an FL-8, and it still works right now. I'm using an FL-X-28, and I use it on my boat as well for summer fishing, winter fishing, whatever. Now, to get a good idea of what's available by that company called Vexilar, if you want to go online at vexilar.com, because they offer a whole line of ice fishing packages from the FL8 all the way up to the FLX28. They all work. They all do a good job at different price points. There's many accessories you can get. As one example would be a little unit called a DD100. If you happen to own an older flasher, you can buy one of those online, or you can get a little thing called a glow ring that you can attach to your Vexlar flasher. It's a little ring of lights that you throw your lighted jig, your fluorescent jig in there, and it'll charge it up. Wi-Fi, sonar, underwater cameras, extra transducers, batteries, K-drills, a video called Ice Fishing Today, which can learn you a thing or two. Whatever you do, remember, Vexlar started it all. They are the number one company when it comes to ice fishing, and you can call them at 952-884-5291. And by the way, they also sell reconditioned units. That's Vexlar. Do not leave home without yours.
Crystal Welding in Maple Grove is your Hinneker snowplow dealer. Looking to get rid of that unwanted snow this year? Hinneker is the way to go. With their quick attach and flare top trip edge system, makes removing snow easy. Made in Minnesota, Hinneker plows are perfect for residential or commercial use. Have a Bobcat? No problem. Hinneker makes a plow for that too. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove also services all makes and models of plows and salt spreaders. Visit them online at crystalwelding.com.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions, like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. And we give you this magic music, which will inspire the perfect hire to begin clog dancing. Okay, there's no magic music, but skills tests, that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers 3 times more hires than any other job site. Post your next job at Indeed.com/hire and try skills tests for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Refreshing bath updates at the right prices. Start with Lowe's. Because now at Lowe's, when you shop our bath savings event, you can get up to 40% off select bath essentials. That's up to 40% off vanities, faucets, toilets, and more. And finish off your project with a new coat of paint. You can pick up dual scrub and stain resistant Valspar Ultra Interior Paint Plus Primer starting at just $24.98 a gallon. Whatever updates you need to make today and every day, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 212 U.S. only.
Now, more Bear Facts and Fish Tales with Mark and Larry. Join in the show by calling 763-450-0100.
All right, we're back. Bear Facts and Fish Tales, Mark and Larry. Glad you're along with us, and we've got a caller.
We do. We got a couple. We're going to start things off with Darwin from St. Cloud. He had some swan action recently, too. Darwin, you're on with Mark and Larry.
Darwin, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Mark. Larry, how you guys doing?
Good, sir. Thanks for calling in.
I was on a lake just outside of Avon up here by St. Cloud.
Sure.
The other night, and we had two flocks of trumpeter swans fly over.
Beautiful.
They were beautiful.
Have you ever had the opportunity to be outside when they fly overhead and you hear the power in the wings?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They weren't that high
okay.
as it was. And it was just wonderful. And they were talking, and it was just beautiful.
Well, I wonder if they're actually going north.
It looked like it.
Well, you know, There's a lot of swan activity in the Mississippi River in different areas. Certainly up in by Monticello, of course, with the warm water discharge up there. Yeah. But you know, that keeps a lot of swans within the area, and I'm sure they move around more, you know. But and that could be why you're seeing some of them in Avon too. They're moving up the river a little bit and branching out. So
you bet.
It's a beautiful sight in winter though, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Just love seeing them.
Cool.
Have you ever been attacked by one?
Nope.
Because it ain't fun, I'll tell you that.
But we sure had some fun fishing. We sure caught some nice crappies and had a lot of fun. And, again, I got the 28 also, the Vexlar, and it is awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, it really does work good. Well, you know, I'm glad to see you're getting out on – I know you guys – actually down here have easier access than I do to some of my lakes up here, which is a good thing. Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. Well, we appreciate the phone call.
You bet. Have a great night.
Thank you, sir. You too. Enjoy.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wild. That's a cool deal. You know, Lair, I was I received an email on an article that was done by the Brainerd Dispatch, and it was talking about Lake of the Woods, and they're having a dilemma up there. They're saying that the fishing is really good, and an extensive network of plowed ice roads pose a dilemma on the lake. And they're saying between wheelhouses and winter resort industry and savvy anglers who are connected through social media, 20 miles of they're extending up to 20 miles out on the Lake of the Woods right now. And a lot of resorters are wondering, you know, is this good or bad for the fishery?
Well, the Mille Lacs issue, by the way, every year they go out that far on Lake of the Woods.
Yeah.
Because they can. And they're correct. Like me, there's no fish in front of my dock. I have to go.
Yeah, right.
Right. You know, I mean, duh. But anyway, there was also a blurb in Outdoor News. Maybe you saw that too. And I talked about it last week with my brother Butch. Worried because the bite was so good this winter with all that activity that you may not get to keep any in the spring.
Right.
Was that what they were talking about too? Or?
No, this was just strictly on Lake of the Woods, about Lake of the Woods and the amount of, you know, but they were talking about the amount of, to quote them, it says that they're saying that they wouldn't be surprised if fishing pressure was closer to 3 million hours than the 2.1 million hours the survey tallied last winter. So, I mean, you're talking about almost another million angling hours on Lake of the Woods. So, well, it'll be interesting to see how this all rolls out.
Yeah, I think on Lake of the Woods, the harvest, I'm talking from what I know about the bite. Probably isn't as high as it was last year or the year before that or the year before that. Even though there's more angling hours, mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, when they count angling hours alone, that's dumb, right?
Well, right, because we know,
you know,
not
they gotta have creel census too. You know,
right? Because you just, you know, it's just like driving through the parking lot at ramps and seeing trucks with empty trailers
right.
and just assuming that everybody's fishing walleyes.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
We know
same
that
thing.
It's the same thing. So, hey, by the way, we've got our good buddy Tommy Newstrom on the line. Tommy, how you doing?
I'm good, and you know, you're on a subject, one of two, that I wanted to talk to you about. So it was kind of interesting.
Oh, okay, all right.
You know, I spent some time up at Lake of the Woods the last month. It's been fun, and we've had some really good fishing. I'm not going to say that I haven't done well, and friends, and then my wife Renee and I were just up there. But, you know, I think what the concern, Larry, is that the wheelhouse traffic has increased so much, and they're out 27 miles, and you know, with the plowed roads, it just seems to be that there's no way to stop the flow of people. Mm-hmm. And I think what's going on, and I talked to a few resorters, and what their complaints are is they're plowing the roads, and you know, for their own customers, but everybody else seems to be utilizing those roads to bring out on the wheelhouses. So, you know, with the extra pressure, as Mark mentioned, it's just going to create a problem in the future. And, you know, I realize that this was a tough winter. This was very unusual winter. And it could have created something more drastic than it has in the past. And now even Mille Lacs has got a lot more wheelhouses on it than it did a month ago. And because of the fact that now people don't want to drive up to Lake of the Woods, they figure they can go to Mille Lacs. And, you know, let's be honest with everybody. You know, it's not just about fishing. It's about a family thing with a wheelhouse and getting everybody out and maybe catching a fish or not. Sometimes a lot of parties go on in the wheelhouses. I mean, it's just one of those things where it's an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And movable cabin.
Yeah.
But we also have to look at what kind of damage is it doing to the fisheries up at Lake of the Woods.
Yeah.
You know, is it going to reduce the limits in the future if there's too many angling hours, and if there's feel there's too many fish coming out of the lake? Is that what's going to happen? I don't know. Larry, I'd like to know. You live up there. What do you think?
I can't believe that they would bring that up, because they get a pretty penny. You know, they charge them $25 a day. I mean, you know, the resort I go out of mostly for convenience, they plow side roads all the time for them, but they charge them pretty good price. And in fact, just a drive out on the lake in a pickup truck is $15 for the day.
Mm-hmm.
In wheelhouses, they get 25. My brother Butch says they get at least $30-$40 a day sometimes on Mille Lacs.
No, I respect that. But the thing is that there's only some resorters are plowing the roads out to like 26, 27.
Yeah.
No, but not, they have to go. So they're able to connect without going out of that resort. They're connecting with their main roads. Is that what the problem is?
Yeah, right.
Okay, well, I understand that from a resorter's side, but there's nothing illegal about that.
No, I mean, I understand that. But what their concern is that, okay, so we even brought this up at the roundtable in the evening session. We brought up what they call the black water dumping.
I read about that that was in Outdoor News, about that.
I got it here.
Yeah. Go ahead, Tommy.
You don't have to be Thomas Edison to figure this out. You don't have to be a brain surgeon of what we're talking about with Blackwater. But I think that's another concern of the resorters. I talked to a couple of them, so that I'm just telling you what they told me, and there's a concern there. So, you know, what's going to happen with it in the future? This is the first time it's ever been brought up. This is the first time this whole dilemma has happened because of the weather. And you don't know what's going to happen next year or the year after, but it still is the subject that they are talking about, whether it's Lake of the Woods, whether it's Mille Lacs.
And this has got to be happening, or are you hearing, is it happening on Winnie or Leech or Red?
No, Winnie's got one road plowed on it from High Banks, and that's another issue. They've got... something else that they're concerned about is lost revenue, and they've got Senator Acorn and a few other people involved in that. And, you know, there's just a lot of things that happened this winter, and we don't know if
it's
ever going to happen again. But, you know, all of a sudden people are starting to run around in circles and saying, well, you know, what about me? What about all the lost revenue that happened with me? Other than maybe Mille Lacs this winter or Lake of the Woods. What about me? You know, including Rush Lake and Winnie and Leech. You know, they didn't have they didn't make the money this year that they normally do. But is it and you know, I hope people that listen to this don't disconcern this or disrespect what I'm saying. Is it any different when a farmer has a bad crop? Is it any different than when people have a bad year in sales in their business? Is it any different? Because I know that's going to be the pushback. I think that's what's going to happen.
It's an obvious one, yeah.
Well, you know, farmers buy actually out of their own pocket. They buy and pay a lot of money for crop insurance. There are no subsidies when they, if they don't have crop insurance, they get SOL just like any other business person.
Correct.
So, you know, it's a bad situation. If you own if you're one of these guys that goes out and does the thing with the fish house, that's great. All the more power to
you. Right.
If your neighbor, if you see your neighbor emptying his little tank on the ice, go chew his butt out. But I would imagine that the majority of them don't do that.
Right.
But we have to police ourselves on that.
Well, you know, that's what has been done for years. You know, it was the old camper's routine that make sure you leave the campsite as you found it. And ice anglers for years have taken pride on making sure when you come off that body of water in the winter. For the most part, you brought what you brought out with you back to your truck and don't leave it on the ice. I mean, we've talked about that for years. So, yeah, there's a lot of things. But, you know, as people come to into the sport, they a lot of people just don't know. They just don't know. I mean,
or don't think about it.
Yeah, it's part of the education process that I believe you just can't turn that off, you know. But right now, like you say, Tom, there's a lot of things that are happening this year that we haven't seen before, and there's ways of going about ice fishing we haven't seen before, and accessibility to other parts of the lake are increasing, and it's going to continue.
Well, it's a great sport. Ice fishing is a great sport. People, you know, there's a lot of guys that work construction jobs, work road jobs, work all kinds of jobs in the summer, can't get out fishing. So ice fishing is their only, that's their venue. And I totally respect it. But all of a sudden, you know, I can see that there's going to be some integral parts of this thing that are going to have to be thought up long and clear. And nobody's pointing a finger at the DNR. This is not a battle. This is something that may come up in a legislature. It may come up, maybe not this year, but next year. But there may be some things up at Lake of the Woods that might change the wheelhouse traffic. I don't know. But I'm just telling you what the resorters are saying. It's not the ones that are cashing in on the roads, Larry. It's the ones that are worried about their plowing their roads and they're getting excess traffic and there's no those little octopus arms off the main road that some of the other resorters are plowing and they're wondering, hey, wait a minute. So we're plowing roads. That's the thing. And I think controversy, it spells its way, doesn't it?
It does.
25 years ago, there was that problem on Lake. It's a problem that's going on Lake Mille Lacs this year really big time. My brother Butch told me. 25 years ago, I cut across a guy's road going to another part of the lake, and I got stopped by him, and I got into an argument. This has been going on for many, many years, where people use roads that they didn't go out of that resort. But sometimes you have to cross a road to get to another part of the lake, even though you paid somebody else.
Yep.
And I think on Lake of the Woods, that's what's going on because they don't have the snow they have. And Mille Lacs is going on right now, too, according to my brother. They're pulling. Yeah, they're moving around out there.
Well, guys, can you hang on through a break? We've got to go to take a break real quick.
All right. I'll hang on shortly. I want to just finish off what Larry's saying. And then I got one little thing on bait that I want to bring up, and then we're done.
Okay, buddy. Bear Facts and Fishtails, Mark and Larry, we're talking with Tommy Newstrom right now, and our phone number is 763-450-0100. A short pause, we'll be right back.
Bring the outdoors home with you. Mark and Larry have more Bear Facts and Fishtails for you. No filet house needed on Bob Outdoors.
The ice will melt soon. Get out and fish in a premium sleeper ice house from Minnesota Recreation Rentals. Select premium ice houses are available on Brainerd area lakes for just $175 a night, Sunday through Thursday, or on weekends, buy two nights at a third for half price. Take advantage of these low prices now. Limited availability. Reserve now at icefishmn.com. For best availability and these special rates, reserve now at icefishmn.com.
Here's Larry Bolig for Frankie's.
Number one Ranger dealer in the world. Talked to him last week. He had a really good boat show. And, of course, he'll be at the big show in April 2nd. You know, you don't get to be number one unless there's a darn good reason. Now, he sells Ranger boats, which makes fiberglass boats and aluminum bass, walleye boats, pontoon boats. Maybe you just need an outboard motor, whatever it is. You're not going to beat Frankie's price, especially if you're looking for a Ranger. And if you've never dealt with Frankie's, you should drive on up there. They've got a brand new showroom up there, well, a couple years old. Everything's on display, 8-stall service center, quick in, quick out. They've been rigging boats. Joe and Bud are his sons. They run the back room. They've been rigging these expensive boats for many, many years. And if you're going to pay a lot of money for a boat, it better be rigged correctly. Guarantee it. They know what they're doing. They've done it for me for many, many years. You can call them at 651-257-6334 or go online, frankies.net. And by the way, you know, they have live bait at Frankie's Live Bait and Marine as well. That's Frankie's in Chisago City. If you are in the market for a new or used boat, give them a try. That's Frankie's in Chisago City, Minnesota.
Dreaming of a new home? The State Bank of Faribault can help with a $7,500 grant. For a limited time, qualified borrowers might be eligible for a up to $7,500 grant towards costs of the purchase of a new home with State Bank of Faribault. Find out if you're eligible. Talk with the mortgage team at one of their two locations in Faribault or their new location in Prior Lake. The State Bank of Faribault, creating customers for life. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. NMLS number 638054. This is not an offer to enter into a rate lock agreement.
Crystal Welding in Maple Grove is your Hinneker snow plow dealer. Looking to get rid of that unwanted snow this year? Hinneker is the way to go. With their quick attach and flare top trip edge system, makes removing snow easy. Made in Minnesota, Hinneker plows are perfect for residential or commercial use. Have a bobcat? No problem. Hinneker makes a plow for that too. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove also services all makes and models of plow and salt spreaders. Visit them online at crystalwelding.com.
Let's get back to the important stuff. Bear Facts and Fishtails. Join the conversation by calling 763-450-0100 right now.
All righty, we're back. Bear Facts and Fishtails. Mark and Larry here. Glad you're with. Tom Newstrom is our guest at the moment. And all right, we'll pick up where we left off. Go ahead, Tom.
All right, and I'm sure there's other people want to call in. I want to tell you that, you know, when I talked to you a little bit ago about what's going on up on Winnie, and I have a lot of respect for, especially the people at High Banks Resort who brought this to the attention of other resorters and business people. You know, they've had an absolute critical winter. They have had, they're down 90%. When you look at 90%, that's quite significant. The bait shops and everybody have struggled really big time. So they feel that they have a battle. They feel that they have something to say about what can happen with them in the future. Mm-hmm. And if they're going after to get subsidized a little bit before, you know, before the session starts with the legislature and the Senate, they're looking at probably trying to get, you know, some small interest loans or no interest loans. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But, you know, I have a lot of respect for those people, and they're wonderful people as far as the fisheries go. And I wish them the best of luck. So I just want to let people know that. But I want to read something to you that when Renee and I were up at Badette the other day, and we walked into a bait shop. I think it's called Outdoors something. Okay. And it was a full real bait shop. And when we walked in there, here's a dog. I mean, a beautiful, beautiful, like a chocolate lab type dog. And it was up on top of a minnow tank. Mm-hmm. And it was looking into the tank. And I walked over there, and there was nothing in there. And you know what? If people that fish a lot and they're looking for live bait over the winter, they'll notice that we have had no shiners.
Right.
So I wrote this deal, and I'm going to read this to you, and then I'll get off. Where's the shiners? And it was just a thing that I did about the dog saying, hey, where's the shiners?
Yeah.
A very controversial subject that continues to hurt monetary contributions to bait dealers all over Minnesota. Careful rules and oversight need to be implemented as to ensure the importation of shiners does not also bring in exotics. It can be accomplished and also allow bait dealers to once again sell shiners at year-long deals.
Yep.
Bait shops are the backbone of the fishing industry, and hopefully the DNR can recognize the importance of this issue. And I think so a lot of people listening, they haven't been able to import shiners in for a couple of years now. And I think that it's something that is really hurting the fishing industry, but it's also part of, it's part of Minnesota. It's part of who we are, is providing live bait for our customers, whether it's winter, summer, spring, fall, it doesn't matter. But anyway, when I saw that dog in the tank, and, you know, for people that want to see that, go on my Facebook page at Tom Newstrom Fishing Promotions, go look at it, And when you see that dog looking in the tank, you'll understand why I was kind of committed to say that.
Yeah, well, well done.
Well, guys, listen.
A Shiner eater or what?
I don't know.
He probably ate the dead Shiners every once in a while. It's probably what happened. Yeah. Well, you know, yeah. Frankie DeSanca's been really concerned about that, too. And in fact, I talked to him about him not too long ago. That subject has brought it up. And, folks, basically what it is a lot of us think that some of the regulations for keeping up from importing Shiners are too harsh.
Yeah, that's...
maybe not necessary.
You know, that's part of Senator Carrie Rudd from Breezy Point. That's in her, some of her legislative... focus is several things, but just real quickly, she was concerned about the live bait transportation issue, which has been a problem for recent years. I'm quoting in Outdoor News, given the frequent bait shortages. The DNR has opposed her efforts to allow minnows to come in from out of state. So, you know, there you go. It's a big deal. However, I've got to mention here that last weekend she quoted to say that there were 10,000 people on Gull Lake, and where did the minnows come from? And the bait dealers in that area didn't have any. So they still have no idea where the bait came from for that on Gull Lake for 10,000 people.
We got to get a trained investigator on that one.
I would think so.
Put the fish detector to work.
I can only say the evidence is gone. Is it right?
Probably.
Well, no.
listen, guys, have a great night.
All right, Tommy.
You know, as always, good to talk to both of you. And again, say hi to my buddy, Larry Hanson. Great guy.
Will do. And everything's a go with our guest for next week, Tom.
Everything's a go.
Everything's a go. I made mention of it earlier that Commissioner Sarah Strauman will be with us next week. And so there we go. So hopefully we can get the commissioner on around 7:20 and run until she is out of gas.
Yep. Yep. She doesn't go the whole show, but she goes for a while.
Yep.
And I hope people call in and have some good questions for her. And we'll have a few subjects to visit with her about prior, but
good.
You know what? It's always a pleasure. She's a real class act.
And absolutely.
People will enjoy having her on again.
All right, pal. It'll be good. Tommy, you take care. Throw your numbers out or your website again, please.
Well, this is just a Facebook page. It's Tom Newstrom Fishing Promotions, but you know, my phone number is 218-259-2628, and if you're looking at a spring or summer or fall fishing trip to book, do it now because the dates are going away fast. And you know what? It's all about the adventure and it's all about fishing.
There you go, buddy. Take care.
Thank you.
All right.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Good night, Larry.
Good night.
Well, you know, the good thing about Sarah Strauman coming on is that I have no reason to be mad at her. So far.
Well, in the world of bowling, that looms big, right?
No, it is. She's been doing it. I think I follow. You know, I watch, I read.
In between YouTubes.
Well, there's some good stuff on there too. Anyway, so far she's doing a good job.
All right.
So if anybody calls in and asks any dumb question, I might just jump in there.
All right, Brandon, we've got another caller, you said.
Yes, I got John from Chisago City on the line. He's got a question about boat props. John, you're on with Mark and Larry.
Hey, John. Top of the afternoon.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're good. How about you?
Good. So I picked up a brand-new boat a couple weeks ago.
Congrats.
Has a 150 on it.
Yep.
And I have some friends that recommend a stainless prop, and I have a buddy that tells me to keep an aluminum prop because if I hit something, the aluminum prop will save my lower unit. If I have a stainless prop, it'll shatter my lower unit. What are your guys' experience and thoughts on that prop dilemma?
We can help. Go ahead, Larry.
I guess we can help.
We can help. Well, we've got a lot of experience.
That was the, you know, and that advice, you start with a steel prop, all right? Get it a prop, pay the money, and it wouldn't be stupid to have a spare aluminum prop.
Yes.
Yep.
But for the performance of a stainless steel prop, far outweighs the danger of, if you hit a rock, I don't care what kind of prop you got, you might just break something. Okay. You can hit a rock going slow and not even damage the prop, where an aluminum prop would be useless.
Okay.
And let me weigh in on that one. 2 years ago, I took a big rock up on Rainy Lake, and my skag is still in the crack of the rock.
I know where that rock is.
And the prop was perfect.
Okay.
And the prop shaft wasn't bent. You know, so your lower unit, the nose cone, is going to take the brunt of the blow. It's if you have a rock to the side, that's what's going to really do the damage. Or rocks that you just are taking off in shallow water, or you're not trimmed up far enough. But you can really roll over an aluminum prop very fast, very easily. And a stainless steel prop is going to give you that performance that you're going to want to get lift. Not necessarily the speed, but you're going to get the lift and you're going to get the best performance out of your motor.
Okay, well, thank you for the advice. I think I know my answer now.
All right, buddy. Best of luck. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you very much. Have a good night.
You bet.
I think most of the guys that say that are just too cheap to buy a stainless steel prop. That's why they tell you.
But you're right. I mean, aluminum is a great one for a backup prop, by far. And, you know, both times recently in the past few years where I've found a new rock on Rainy Lake, it really didn't matter. It's, you know, the gear case goes. If you
cost me thousands of dollars to move that mark, that rock that he hit. Get to where he's been running for years, folks. Thousands of dollars I spent.
The one rock, I still today can't believe I never knew that there was one there. I never saw a jug over the years, and I fished up there for 20-some years. And I have no idea.
Yeah,
I know.
Like
you
I
know.
Said, I actually kind of think of that every once in a while. When I'm running in the shallow water, in the canoe channels and stuff, where the average depth is 3, 4, even 2 feet.
Yes.
What if some idiot dropped a couple cement blocks on purpose?
Or a Volkswagen or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I think about that all the time. You know what? No matter what you're running, you know, at 25, 30, or 40, or 50 miles an hour, 60, whatever the hell, fast your boat goes.
Yep.
And you're in 2 or 3 feet of water, just don't look at your depth finder. If you've been through there many times, just don't look at it.
Right. That's...
No.
You remember... Well, of course you do. There was a time back with the old Silverado tournaments, and you and I were down there. We were fishing on the Mississippi River in St. Croix. We came out of Hastings.
Mm-hmm.
But we had been down there for something else, Lair. Remember? And we got... I was driving my boat, and I missed a channel. And I went too far to the east side, and I looked down, and there was... My locator was just lit up red.
Right.
And it's like, oh, no. No, no, no. And the worst thing you can do, folks, is slow down, obviously. So you just keep up and you keep going and kind of ease your way out from where you think you need to go as easily as possible. Don't do anything really quick, but just kind of ease yourself out. And but whatever you do, don't slow down.
You could slow down. You could trim it all the way out.
Right.
Keep, you know, and then you'll slow down. But yeah, I know it, and it's a hard decision to make too.
Yes, the worst thing you can do is get back to the ramp or the dock or whatever, and have somebody tell you they found a rock in an area that you fish often, only to know you've never seen that rock either.
Yeah, that's kind of a trick we play on other people.
Exactly.
Keep them out of areas.
It's bad. What do you mean there's a rock in there? Oh, it's just off to the right of that channel. Oh, yeah, really? Okay.
I just like to say I found a new rock.
Yeah, that's a bad one. Yeah. You've been doing that for years. And it's like Bolick found a new rock? Oh, no.
Yeah, it's on a new rock, you know. Okay, yeah. It strikes fear into the heart of the competitors.
Well, what the heck? You found one in a back chute going up to Alexander. You hit with Genie. Remember? And
yeah, that was a new rock. And yeah, no,
new rock. Right, it's only been there how many million years? You know.
Well, it's new to me.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know that, and that could only be hit in real low water, and that's what it was. It was pretty low water that year, and
yeah
you could have easily, folks. Every rock I hit, I've hit, and let's see. I a couple of them really going so slow that it didn't matter. I didn't damage anything because my instinct told me to slow way down to nothing. But the other two I hit going wide open, I knew they were there.
Yeah.
I was just daydreaming.
Yeah, you knew of their existence.
Yeah, well, I ran on the wrong side of the buoy.
Yep.
Which I've done, yeah.
That's not good. 1 point on the Mississippi River down on pool 4. I did a back shoot deal down by the infamous Crow's Foot. And back in the days when you could run back in there, now it's become a sanctuary, apparently, and so you can't run back in there. But you go back in, and you get out of the main channel, you put the boat down, and you idle back to where you're going because there's stump fields, there's all sorts of stuff in there. But you've got plenty of water to support. You know the deal there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for years, I had the same trail laid on my GPS. And I came out of there one day and putting the boat on the trailer, and a respected river rat from down there said, "Hey, I saw you today." And I go, "Yeah, where?" "You were back in the Crow's Foot. Don't ever do that again." I go, "What, fishing there?" He "No, take that route you did. That thing's loaded with stumps. You're gonna definitely take it out of unit."
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going, I can't believe it, because I'm following the same track. So I must have laid down a track on my GPS that was pretty doggone good. And oddly enough, I was lucky enough probably not to tangle with the tree stump, you know. Yeah, backwaters.
Or you were fishing his spot.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're not going to take a chance.
Don't
anyway.
Go back there. Yeah.
No, you're not going.
I remember throwing to the most beautiful spot that had a little current break off a tree that was laying down, and I got a thunk, like I'm thinking I have got a giant bass. Set the hook, and it was about a 9-pound walleye.
All right.
Way back in about 2 feet of water, way, way back in the back.
Did you put the knife to it?
No, I let him go. I thought, if you can live back here by yourself, good luck.
He probably wasn't too good eating anyway.
No, I don't know. Yeah.
You know.
All right.
Right next to that sewer outlet.
Right.
Yeah.
With that, we're going to take a short pause. Bear Facts and Fishtails. Mark and Larry here, appreciating your phone calls at 763-450-0100. A short pause. We'll be right back.
Missed part of Bob Outdoors? No problem. Just click on the weekend tab at mybobcountry.com to listen back to Bear Facts and Fishtails anytime. The Bob FM Chillin' and Grillin' Giveaway is your opportunity to win a brand new Traeger grill from the Blaine VFW. Just submit a picture of you chillin' and grillin' in Bob Country by February 20th. Get full rules and submit your picture online at mybobcountry.com. It's the Bob FM Chillin' and Grillin' Giveaway.
Dreaming of a new home? The State Bank of Faribault can help with a $7,500 grant. For a limited time, qualified borrowers might be eligible for a up to $7,500 grant towards costs of the purchase of a new home with State Bank of Faribault. To find out if you're eligible, talk with the mortgage team at one of their two locations in Faribault or their new location in Prior Lake. The State Bank of Faribault, creating customers for life. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. NMLS number 638054. This is not an offer to enter into a rate lock agreement.
Thinking of selling your farm, land, or country property? No one knows the country like Kurt Weir's United Country Pro Realty in Annandale. Kurt Weir's has a strategic marketing plan to get your property sold, from farms and land to country homes and small town real estate, serving all of central Minnesota. Now, when you list with Kurt Weir's, he's offering a 4.5% rate when selling your property, helping you save thousands of dollars. Contact Kurt at 320-274 or 1341 and online at ucprorealty.com.
IceFishMN.com wants to remind you that you can still ice fish in one of their premium sleeper ice houses in the Brainerd Lakes area. Reserve now at IceFishMN.com. You can still ice fish in Minnesota with IceFishMN.com.
Crystal Welding in Maple Grove is your Hinneker snowplow dealer. Looking to get rid of that unwanted snow this year? Hinneker is the way to go. With their quick attach and flare top trip edge system, makes removing snow easy. Made in Minnesota, Hinneker plows are perfect for residential or commercial use. Have a Bobcat? No problem. Hinneker makes a plow for that too. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove also services all makes and models of plows and salt spreaders. Visit them online at crystalwelding.com.
Mark your calendar for the next Crocodile Productions Gun and Knife Show at the Stillwater Armory. This Saturday and Sunday, February 15th and 16th, open 9 p.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday the 15th and 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday the 16th. Admission is only $5 per day. Kids under 12 get in free when accompanied by a responsible adult. Buy, sell, or trade guns, knives, military relics, even great-great-great-grandpa's old blunderbuss, all in one location. Visit CrocodileProductions.com or check out their Facebook page for more information.